Hare Krishna. The first thing is, today, because it's a seminar, there'll be need, maybe there's a need to take notes. Did you bring paper and pen? Everyone brought pen and paper? Who did not bring? So, okay. Okay. Anyway, I can see that most of you have brought pen and paper. That's very nice. So, Vaishnava etiquette is a very vast subject. But here we will conduct it only for 2 days. So, in these 2 days, today, the first day, we will discuss about the general understanding of Vaishnava etiquette, the general external aspects of Vaishnava etiquette, and tomorrow we will deal with more of an internal and behavioral aspect of Vaishnava etiquette. For example, today we will discuss, first thing we'll discuss about what is the meaning of Vaishnava etiquette? What's the definition of Vaishnava etiquette? So this Vaishnava etiquette has got, it's a combination of two words, Vaishnava and etiquette. Vaishnava, everybody know, and etiquette means the activity and behavior of a Vaishnava. So then the question arises, who is a Vaishnava? The general understanding or definition of Vaishnava is that one who is a devotee of Vishnu is a Vaishnava. Vishnu Bhakta is a Vaishnava. One, meaning one who has surrendered himself to Vishnu, is a Vaishnava. Who is Vishnu? Again, now the question arises, who is Vishnu? Vishnu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Does anybody have any doubt about that? Do you all believe in the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Who doesn't believe in Vishnu or the Supreme Personality of Godhead? At least here, everybody does. And those who believe that, believe in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they are the fortunate souls. They are really fortunate. So Vishnu, devotees of Vishnu are Vaishnava. The word Vaishnava has been derived from the word Vishnu, which means devotee of Vishnu. Devotee, what is the meaning of the word devotee then? We again go back to this point. What is the meaning of the word devotee? So the word devotee means basically one who believes in Vishnu, believes in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One who surrenders himself to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One, as a result of his surrender, depends upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And depending upon him, he serves the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in this way, he develops his love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, this devotion begins with surrender and goes up to love. First aspect of devotion is surrender. Well, another thing of course comes before surrender. What is that? Faith. Because we believe in Krishna, therefore we surrender to Krishna. Those who don't believe in Krishna cannot surrender to Krishna. So therefore, the first consideration is Shraddha. At the beginning, there is Shraddha. Adau Shraddha. Tato Sadhu Sangaha. So first is Shraddha. So Shraddha leads to Sharanagati, surrender. And through the surrender, it reaches prem. Ottanto durlabho prem koribare dan shikhaye sharanagati bhakotir opran. In order to bestow, in order to offer very rare Krishna prem, love for Krishna, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching us the process of surrender. So to be a Vaishnava, one first of all have to surrender to Krishna. So that is the definition or identity of a Vaishnava. And in the ultimate sense, what does it mean to be a Vaishnava? In the ultimate sense, a Vaishnava means a pure spirit soul. A living entity exists in two stages, conditioned and pure. When a living entity is in the material nature, he is conditioned. That conditioning is impurity. But when one becomes purified, then he is a pure spirit soul. And as a pure spirit soul, he is a Vaishnava. So a Vaishnava actually means a soul who is completely pure of his material contamination. So Vaishnava means a liberated soul. Vaishnava means a pure devotee of the Lord. So that is the ultimate definition of a Vaishnava. He is a pure devotee of the Lord. And etiquette, whatever he does, his activities, his behavior, is Vaishnava etiquette. The way a pure devotee acts, that is Vaishnava etiquette. So it, at the stage of Vaidhi Bhakti, practicing stage, we are practicing few activities or few processes, practices, but ultimately it is a matter of becoming purified. Then only it will become Vaishnav Sadachar or Vaishnav etiquette. The way a pure devotee acts, that is Vaishnav etiquette. So we have to understand, what does a pure devotee do? Whatever a pure devotee does, that whatever a Vaishnava does, that is Vaishnava etiquette. So, from the scriptures we understand a few symptoms of a Vaishnava. And the most wonderful symptom of a Vaishnava has been given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, indicated by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the third verse of Shikshashtakam. Trinadopi sunichena taroriva shahishnuna amanena manadena kirtaniya sadahari. So that is the symptom of a pure Vaishnava. Of course, not that every Vaishnava will be a pure Vaishnava. There are three stages of Vaishnavas, three phases of becoming Vaishnava. One is a Kanishtha Adhikari Vaishnava or a neophyte devotee, then second class devotee and first class devotee. This definition of Trinadopi Sunichena is of the first class devotee. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was asked, who is a Vaishnav? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mentioned that one who chants the holy name of the Lord is a neophyte Vaishnav. One who always chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, he is a second class Vaishnav, second class devotee. And just by seeing him, one feels like chanting Hare Krishna, he is a first class Vaishnav. So, there are different stages of elevation. First, we are practicing devotee, then we are preaching devotees, then we are loving devotees. The ultimate goal is to become a loving devotee, a devotee who has developed his pure love for Krishna, premi bhakta, one who developed his love for Krishna is the first class devotee. So Trinadopi Sunichena Taruropi Shoishna is the ultimate standard. A Vaishnav is more humble than a blade of grass. Although he is very advanced, but although he is in the most elevated stage of devotional service, but he is very humble. When you think of a pure devotee, the example that we have is of Srila Prabhupada. We heard of many pure devotees, but one pure devotee we have seen ourselves. That is Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada, although he achieved so much, but Prabhupada always maintained such a humble attitude. That is the exemplary Vaishnava. Like personally I have seen, whenever Prabhupada gave some credit, whenever somebody gave some credit to Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada would always offer it to his spiritual master. Prabhupada, I remember once in Calcutta, the reporters came to interview Srila Prabhupada, and some of them were glorifying Srila Prabhupada by saying what he had done is even greater than what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did. They were telling that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spread Krishna consciousness only in India, but Prabhupada spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. But Prabhupada's response was, no, I haven't done anything. It is all the doing of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and my Guru Maharaj. So Prabhupada did not take the credit for himself. Although Krishna gave him the credit, Prabhupada did not accept the credit. He offered the credit back to Krishna. It is Krishna who did it. After all, everything happens by Krishna's divine arrangement. Although Krishna selected Srila Prabhupada, but Prabhupada did not accept the credit and offered it to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his spiritual master. In this way we have seen Prabhupada always was offering all the credit to his spiritual master and did not accept any credit for himself. And considering Srila Prabhupada's humble disposition, I also think of one anecdote that I heard. I haven't seen it myself, but I heard of one anecdote. It was in Holland. Prabhupada in Amsterdam, Amsterdam had a small temple, and Holland was the place for it was not, it was very, those days, Holland used to be very liberal. Those days, the young boys and girls were into taking drugs, like marijuana and hashish. And although in other countries it was banned, in Holland it was open. It was legal. So many hippies used to come and stay in Amsterdam from all over. So our temple in Holland also was a little spaced out temple. And so Prabhupada was going to give initiation, and Prabhupada saw that nothing was organized properly, and Prabhupada was getting very, very disturbed. And then at one point, you know, when Prabhupada came to give initiation, to perform the fire sacrifice, he saw that on the Jagavedi, on the fire altar, there was no fruits. So Prabhupada, in a little irritated way, yes, where are the fruits? And one devotee ran downstairs and he got a bowl of cut fruits and brought it to Srila Prabhupada. So Prabhupada got a little annoyed. So there was one young boy, kind of a hippie, who used to come to the temple. He didn't become a devotee, but he used to come to the temple, and he noticed that whenever somebody would get agitated, devotees would tell him, why don't you chant Hare Krishna? So he told Prabhupada when he saw that Prabhupada was getting disturbed, he said, why don't you chant Hare Krishna? And Prabhupada just took his big bang and started to chant. So this is how humble Srila Prabhupada was. One hippie is instructing him what to do, and Prabhupada is. Prabhupada would take the instruction even from a hippie. So many times I have noticed Prabhupada would have a meeting with his the GBC's leaders, and at that time I was just a new devotee serving Srila Prabhupada. And after they left, Prabhupada would ask me, so what do you think of it? As if Prabhupada cared for my opinion. And I simply felt embarrassed and I said, Prabhupada, I don't understand anything what's going on. And Prabhupada was so tolerant. And Prabhupada always gave amanina manadina, not desiring any respect for himself. He gave so much respect to others. So the symptom of a Vaishnava is Trinadopi Sunichena Tadaropi Shaishna. That's the perfect definition of a Vaishnava. And another consideration is that a Vaishnava is a soul surrendered to Krishna. Surrendered soul. Prabhupada often used to say that a Vaishnava is a perfect gentleman. And Prabhupada wanted the devotees of ISKCON to become perfect gentlemen. Everybody in ISKCON should become a perfect gentleman. So much, this is how people will develop respect for our organization, for our institution. When they're watching how we are behaving. Therefore our behavior should be very exemplary. Now this is the qualification or symptom of a Vaishnava. Then what is the external appearance of a Vaishnava? How do we recognize a Vaishnava? We recognize a Vaishnava by his tilak, by kantimala, by his sikha, especially for men, and the dress, especially in the temple. Now nowadays most of the devotees are householders. They have to work, they have to go to office. So in the office they may wear Western clothes, but when one comes to the temple, one should be very cautious, very careful that he is dressed in devotee clothes. I am very impressed to see how you all are here today. All of you are, most of you are wearing, those who could go home and change, you have dressed yourself in dhoti, kurta and sari. So this dress code is very important. I remember when I was a new devotee, I was asking one devotee, Tirthapad Prabhu, who was kind of my mentor. He was like my elder brother. He was very, very caring. I was sharing the room with him and he was very loving, very caring devotee. And so I was asking him, what's wrong with wearing trousers? And he gave a very, very wonderful explanation of that. He told me that the trousers rubs the inner part of our thighs, which causes sexual agitation. And I immediately could see the dhoti is so soft and so like so easy to wear, I mean so much nicer a feeling it is to the body, dhoti and kurta. So everything that we do is scientific, has a scientific basis. So trousers, wearing trousers causes sexual agitation. And the goal of human life is to conquer sex desire, to overcome sex desire. Because this material nature is a prison house of sex desire. As long as we have sex desire, we are going to be bound to this material nature. If we want to get out of this material nature, if we want to become free from the bondage of this material nature, we have to overcome sex desire. There is no other way. You can't maintain your sex desire and want to become free from material bondage. It will never work. Anyway, therefore, dress code is also very important. The way we dress ourselves is very important. So Mataji's, ladies, please wear saris. Nowadays I notice in India also people, the women, are not wearing saris. They are wearing jeans, they are wearing trousers. Sometimes it becomes difficult to figure out who is man and who is woman. They're wearing jeans, they're wearing salwar kameez. But sari is so graceful. It's so nice to wear saris. They look so beautiful. Women look so beautiful in there. And it covers their... You can end this. What's that? Huh? Oh, 21. So this is how the Vaishnavas have been have the perfect system, perfect arrangement, perfect way of life. And so it is important that all the devotees of ISKCON wear tilak. Will you make it a point to wear tilak? I'm seeing many of you forgot to put on tilak today, although you came to the program. One thing I can tell you, Prabhupada used to be very, very upset when he saw that we didn't have tilak. So, make it a point to wear tilak. There is no need to hide your identity. Rather, feel proud of your identity, that you are a Vaishnava. Can you imagine the early days when there were just a handful of devotees? They were dressed in a perfect way. Tilak, kantimala, shaved head, sikha, dhoti, kurta, sari. Although they didn't know how to wear dhoti kurta properly. Although they didn't know how to, they are mostly Westerners. They didn't know how to wear saris. But still they were, that is how their commitment and conviction was to Krishna consciousness. Also, many of you are working, so probably you cannot keep shaved head. But please make it a point to keep a sikha. Those who are initiated and those who want to become initiated, make it a point to wear sikha. Ladies can have long hair. But temple devotees should have shaved head. So these are our uniform. When people used to ask Prabhupada, why do you do that? Prabhupada used to say that just like when a policeman is wearing the uniform, you know that he is a policeman. And if you are in difficulty, you approach the policeman. Similarly, when you want spiritual guidance, you can see a Vaishnava. Therefore, the Vaishnavas have to identify themselves in a proper way. So make it a point to present yourselves as Vaishnavas. Are you proud to be a Vaishnava?
Yes.
Once again.
Yes.
Thank you very much. So become, it is actually a honor, it's a glory, it's a pride to become a Vaishnava. It's a privilege to become a Vaishnava. Can you imagine who is a Vaishnava? Lord Shiva is a Vaishnava. Brahma is a Vaishnava. Narada is a Vaishnava. Prahlad Maharaj is a Vaishnava. Bali Maharaj is a Vaishnava. Yudhishthir Maharaj is a Vaishnava. So these are the Vaishnavas. The best of the people. Rupa Goswami was a Vaishnava. Sanatana Goswami was a Vaishnava. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a Vaishnava. Prabhupada was a Vaishnava. So these are the Vaishnavas. The best of the people of this world. So do you want to belong to the same clan? Yes, naturally. Now, as a Vaishnav, we also maintain a very strict standard of cleanliness. We have to also be very careful about. Vaishnav is very clean. a Vaishnav takes a bath every morning. Especially, preferably, just after getting up, what do? You go to the bathroom, do your morning rituals, take a bath, isn't it? Brush your teeth, etc. Take bath. Get ready for Mangalarati. If you don't have the time, if you are not staying in temple, in the morning you have some program at home, like, and make it a point to get up early. Vaishnav preferably gets up by Brahma Muhurta, before 4:30. Again, many of you are working, so you have late night and things, may not be able to get up so early at 4:30, but try to get up as early as possible. Generally, a devotee should take bath how many times a day? Well, we can say that the brahmacharis, sannyasis, and they should take at least 3 baths a day. And the householders can take at least 2 baths. At least when you, in the morning when you go to get up, and in the evening when you come home, take a bath. And the bath actually is very healthy. The more often you take bath, it actually balances your body's metabolism. Pouring water in the body has a very healthy effect. Besides keeping the standard of cleanliness, it also helps in maintaining a healthy body. And in early days in India, bath actually meant you go to a river or you go to a pond and take a bath. That kind of bath is even better. Nowadays we have go to the bathroom, open the shower. That's also nice, but better is to take a bath, completely immersing the body in the water. In Mauritius you have such a wonderful facility. There's such a beautiful ocean. But I notice that Mauritians don't like to go to the ocean to take a bath. So, the time to take bath is when one is, as I said, getting up in the morning. Then after evacuating, after passing stool, also one should take bath. In this way, after any unclean act, one should take bath. You go to a dirty place, take bath. You touch something dirty, like if you step onto something unclean, take bath. After any unclean act, take a bath. And then wash hands and feet also before eating. Wash hands and feet after urinating. These are the activities that the Vaishnavas must do. So keep yourself very clean in this way. Vaishnava means clean. Externally, keep your habits clean. Internally, your spirit soul will become clean. It will have its effect. Then Vaishnav is respectful, and as an expression of his respect, Vaishnav offers obeisances. When you go in front of the deities, you offer obeisances. when you approach a senior, when you go to a senior devotee or see a senior devotee, you offer obeisance. By doing that, what happens? Your soul becomes purified. Your soul cultivates this culture of respect. Sometimes it is seen that some devotees don't really want to show any respect. But who is a loser? The person they are not showing the respect, is it that person is losing? No. The one who is failing to show respect, he is becoming contaminated within. He is missing out on this opportunity to become purified. Therefore, the seniors should be respected, the deities should be respected. And even the objects of worship should be respected, like Tulasi Maharani. Or the temple. Not only the deities should be respected, the temple also should be respected. When you approach a temple, you should offer obeisances to the temple. Even the scriptures should be respected. Don't use the scriptures like, don't put the books on the floor. The scriptures, don't keep them on the floor. Show respect on a stand or on your lap at least. Keep them. Offer obeisances when you approach the scriptures. Before giving Bhagavatam class or approaching some scriptures for reading, yes, offer respect to them. Because by offering respect, what is happening? By offering respect, our heart is becoming purified. And then, whatever you have, you cultivate the habit of offering them to Krishna first. And then accept it as Krishna's prasad. Whether it is food or whatever it is. Hari Bhakti Vilas says even clothes. When you get new clothes, offer it to Krishna. And then accept it as Krishna's remnants. Krishna prasad. Whatever you have, you offer it to Krishna first. And this culture is very common in India or in Indian culture. Like I notice when people buy a car, they bring it to a temple. Do they do it here? And they want the do the puja, which actually means they want to offer it to Krishna. Maybe we should remind them that this is how they should develop their consciousness, offer it to Krishna. So everything, offer everything to the Lord and accept everything as His mercy or as His prasad. So these are the 6 points that I decided to cover today. And tomorrow we will discuss more about our behavior, like how should we deal with each other. That is a very important aspect. In order to make spiritual advancement, it is very important that we develop proper relationship with each other. So that is an important aspect of Vaishnava. Does anybody have any questions? I think it'll be better if you write the questions on a piece of paper, then it'll be easy for me to answer. Does anybody have any question written already? Or anyway, so if anybody has any question that you want to ask directly, you can do that. Yes, Krishna Chandra Prabhu. Yeah, okay, no, it's a very nice question. You see, Vaishnava etiquette is teaching us how to become a Vaishnava. But what is Kali Yuga trying to teach everybody? How to become an offender to the Vaishnavas. Right? How to become a demon. That is what Kali Yuga is teaching. Adharma. Devotees stay on the path of dharma. Kali Yuga is the time of adharma. So Kali Yuga is taking everyone away from the Vaishnava culture. Therefore, we have a very important job in hand. That is, stop Kali's influence and re-establish dharma. Thank you, Krishna Chandra Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Yes? When you come to Krishna consciousness, we become proud. Yeah, that is a neophyte stage. But more he makes advancement, he'll become humble. See, more he becomes a Vaishnava, the more humble he'll become. So when you come, we are not really quite Vaishnavas. But as we become Vaishnavas, our attitude will become humble. But initially one may have a little tendency of being arrogant. Oh, I have become a Vaishnava. It's natural, otherwise why should he join ISKCON? If he is not proud of being a devotee, then why should he join? So it's good that he's proud. But that pride will automatically dissolve into humble disposition in the course of time. Okay, very good. The question is, what is the place of TV, cinema in lifestyle on a preaching devotee? Yeah, you see, generally what is presented in a TV, as I said, like Kali Yuga means Kali's arrangement to spread adharma. So through TV, cinema, what is ultimately happening is adharma is being promoted. But people have a tendency to watch TV, so what to do? So eventually we have to make TV programs to promote Krishna consciousness. That is how we have to counter that. And another thing is that it is better not to watch TV, because so much time just goes to waste. Prabhupada, what to speak of TV, told us not to even read newspapers. And TVs and newspapers, what they do, they're meant to give news. But in today's world, there is no good news. It's all bad news. So what's the point in watching those news or reading those news? It simply contaminates your consciousness. Though life goes on without even reading them or watching them. There's a revolution in Libya. Every world, People are so excited about that. What's happening in Libya? But how is it going to affect me? How is it going to affect us? If there's a revolution here, then we could think about it. After all, by Krishna's mercy, it's not happening here. Mauritius is a peaceful place. So, let us not get affected by all that. Because this kind of news simply agitates the mind. And the movies and things, what they're doing, they're simply promoting materialistic culture. They're simply promoting sex life. Materialistic culture means sex life. So TVs and movies and all that are simply promoting that. Where did I keep those papers? The question? Where did I keep them? Hare Krishna Maharaj. From which age do you recommend parents to introduce their children to the basic principles of Vaishnava etiquette? Should we impose upon them or let them decide for themselves? Thank you, Maharaj. Okay, yes, nice question. The question is, from what age we should try to teach our children about Vaishnava etiquette, or should we impose it upon them or leave it up to them? You see, children need to be guided. And when they reach their maturity, then they can decide what they want to do. So that means from the age of 6 to 16, or even before, you have to educate them. You teach them what is right and what is wrong. But when they are 17 and 18, then you leave it up to them. Okay, it's your life, you decide. But still continue to guide them, because if they are obedient, yes, guide them. The main point is, when they are young, educate them. Give them the right guidance. Guidance means tell them what is right from what is wrong. Well, this question came before. Why, even after coming to Krishna consciousness since so many years, one failed to develop the mood as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommended, that is Trinadopi Sunichena Tararopi Shreshnana? It may take time, but keep on practicing. It will happen. Keep on endeavoring. We won't be able to achieve perfection overnight. It may take years, it may take lives, it may take lifetimes, doesn't matter. Keep on practicing it since you know that this is the right thing to do. Maharaj, you have just mentioned that and should offer food or any other things and then accept as prasadam. Is it okay if we buy breads from outside and offer it and eat it as prasadam, or is it not good? Well, if the bread is, if you have to eat it, that's the question. If you can avoid eating bread from outside, that's one thing. But if you have to eat it, then yes, offer it to Krishna and eat it. But it is not the ideal thing to offer because it is grains and cooked by non-devotees. So things that are cooked by non-devotees, is better to avoid those stuffs. But if you cannot, sometimes you have to eat it, offer it to Krishna. You won't be able to offer it to Krishna in the temple, but at least offer it to a picture of Krishna. Offer it in your mind. Sometimes, early days, devotees used to offer the whole supermarket to Krishna. Yes, you can offer anything to Krishna. Nowadays we understand that most devotees living outside buy breads and eat what to speak about other things. Yeah, that's why I said, like, you see, we have to be practical. People working outside, for everybody it may not be possible to carry food from home. And they have to eat outside, so when they have to eat outside, at least if it is vegetarian, and before accepting it, if they can offer it to Krishna, that will be nice. We have to also understand that Krishna is very merciful. If you are sincerely offering yourself to Krishna, Krishna is not going to watch all these petty things. Oh, is it karmi bread or devotee bread? The basic idea is accept everything with the right kind of consciousness. Everything belongs to Krishna. Krishna is given to us for our sustenance. So be grateful to Krishna before accepting it. Devotees performing devotional service in a view of public but keeping extra marital life. What is this? What's the question actually? Devotees performing devotional life, devotional service in view of public, but keeping extramarital life. Well, I mean, you deal it with those who are. This kind of question I can't deal with. Before marriage, devotee is walking hand in hand with his fiancée. Well, I mean, if it is not right, yes, it is not, because devotees maintain, as I mentioned, devotees maintain pure standard. So, please maintain a pure standard. And man-woman relationship is a sacred relationship. It is not a thing for public display. Like nowadays we are seeing, like, the whole materialistic culture is degrading the society. Now the question is, are we going to become a part of that, or we are going to set the right standard in this degraded world? Should a devotee of Krishna actively participate in other processes such as Shivaratri and Kali Puja? Shivaratri is okay because Lord Shiva is a devotee of Krishna. And if you approach Lord Shiva to receive devotion, then there is nothing wrong in that. And Shivaratri, according to Lord Shiva, Shivaratri is a time when he becomes very easily pleased. It's a time which is very dear to him. So if you want to win the favor of Lord Shiva and ask him to bless you to become a devotee of Krishna, then yes, you can. But Kali Puja is a different thing altogether. Kali Puja, people worship Kali, the dacoits worship Kali. The meat eaters worship Kali. Because they want to eat meat, so they want to offer it to Kali first and take it. But the purpose of offering meat to Kali was also to take her permission, because she is the mother. And mother's child is being slaughtered. So mother's permission is taken. And what is the condition? The condition is, what I am doing to him today, he will do it to me tomorrow. I am killing him today, tomorrow he'll kill me. You want a condition like that? Go ahead. That's why Kali Puja is not really meant for the Vaishnavas. In the verse Trinadopi Sunichena, it is said that we should not be proud and we must be humble. What is the difference between pridelessness and humble? It's the same. When you become prideless, you become humble. What message do Your Holiness have to devotees' children who behave differently to their aspiration? Well, make them understand that to become a devotee of Krishna is for their own benefit. When they become a devotee of Krishna, Krishna will be very pleased with them and Krishna will give them everything they want. Krishna will give them all the toys, all the chocolates, I'm sorry, all the gulab jamuns. Then they will be attracted to worship Krishna. Just don't present it to them in a very rigid way, but present it to them in such a way that they'll be able to appreciate that. Please elaborate, why not to eat onion and garlic? As Ramdev Swami is preaching, to consume it as it is important for our health, as it acts as medicine. So common people often get confused whether to eat or not. Thank you, Maharaj. Well, as you said, like if it is taken as a medicine, probably it can be taken. But not in every day with every food. Like you can take medicine, sometimes you take poison for medicine. Do you take antibiotics every day? Do you put antibiotics with your breakfast? Crush the antibiotics and put in your chapati? Why not? Because medicines are taken at a certain time to cure the disease. Yes, onion and garlic may be good as medicine when it comes to it, but it is not meant to be taken every day. Somebody may say that, well, onions and garlics are also vegetables. So many vegetable plants are poison. Do you eat them? They're vegetables. There is a plant called hemlock. You know hemlock? Socrates was given that juice of hemlock, which was poison. So many plants, do you make a sabji out of that? They're poisonous plant. Similarly, onions and garlic has poisonous effect in our consciousness. That's why we don't take onions and garlic. Do you want your consciousness to become contaminated? So onions and garlic do that. So now you are cultivating your consciousness to become Krishna conscious. So can you afford to contaminate your consciousness? Therefore don't take onions and garlic. It doesn't matter what Ramdev Baba or Bamdev Baba say. These people don't have any knowledge. They are just promoting some Hatha Yoga. They are not devotees. They don't understand the purpose. They don't even know what a soul is. They don't have any information about spirit soul. What they're doing, they're promoting the body culture. Practice yoga, practice pranayam, practice this and that. For what? To have a healthy body. So is that our objective? No. That's why stay away from these people. Just stick to Prabhupada. He gave the perfect understanding. This Hatha Yoga and Pranayama is not going to help you at the time of death. Do you think you'll be able to practice Hatha Yoga at the time of death? We have seen that devotees tend to look at the faults of others. Why do they do that? Well, I don't know whom you saw, but at least I tell people, I tell the devotees that if you are so expert in finding faults, if you are so expert, if you are such a good critic, then find fault with yourself first. If you are such a good critic, become your critic first. We see that there, or these days, the younger generation devotees do not follow proper etiquette. They openly keep beard, piercings, exposed tattoo marks on their bodies as if it is all natural. It's happening because you are not teaching them what to do and what not to do. Did you tell them not to do that? Try to educate them properly. We can't blame them without reminding them what is right and what is wrong. Okay. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
What happened to tabla player?
He's not coming today. He's not coming today.
Can he come tomorrow?
Yes, he will come tomorrow. Yeah, sure.
Okay. Thank you very much. There were so many nice questions. The question-answer sessions are the most interesting part of the seminar. tomorrow I'm sure you'll have even more.